Blog Talk Radio.
It was a defensive battle for the most part. Well, not really a defensive battle because,
both of these teams were driving on each other. Those very long drives also that ate up the clock. But in the end, my boy Giants, they edge out the Patriots just like they did 4 or 5 years ago in Super Bowl 42. And, you know, it was a great game, good game to watch.
Yep, you obviously picked the winner, but you expected it to be a blowout, but
yeah.
Most important thing is you picked the winner.
Yeah, you know, Patriots, you know, I got to, you know, tip off my cap to them. They had a great season, and they played a good game. You know, it was very frustrating at times to watch them just freaking methodically, you know, dink and dunk and drive down the field and, you know, take off time off the clock, you know. In that second quarter, like, it was very frustrating. Like, we were up 9-0. You know, we got the first 2 points of the game by
a safety,
and then Cruz scored a touchdown later on, and that made 9-0. But then they came back, and then they scored a touchdown to end the half, which made it 10-9. So that was very frustrating to see them just dink and dunk, and Tom Brady, we weren't getting any pressure on Tom Brady in the first half at all, whatsoever.
You know what was weird? I don't know if you heard, but 25 years ago at the Super Bowl, Giants was losing 10-9 also.
Yeah, against the Broncos, yep.
And, of course, you know, they came and they, of course, went on to about 25 years ago.
Yeah. But, you know, football is a game of, you know, a game of adjustments, and Giants made some adjustments. They started to put some pressure in the second half. They were, instead of rushing four, they would rush three guys and drop some people back in coverage. So that put a little more pressure on Brady. And, you know, some of his receivers dropped some key passes in the fourth quarter, which didn't help. But, and then my boy Eli, just like he did all year, you know, set the record for most fourth quarter touchdowns, and he had a big fourth quarter touchdown in this game, man. It helped the Giants win the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I lost my train of thought.
He had that big 50-yard pass to Manningham. I mean, if Manningham doesn't catch that pass, who knows? Maybe Patriots win this game.
Oh, right, yes, exactly right. I was just about to say that. You know, the Patriots, they had it close. Even the last drive of the game, you know, they were this close to, getting that. Like you said, they didn't get batted out, they could have scored on the last play.
Yeah.
5 seconds left.
Right.
In the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was a key moment of the game, and I thought one of the biggest plays of the game was when Blackburn intercepted Brady. At that point, I think they were up either 17-9 or 17-12. I think the Patriots were up, and Brady wanted to throw a long pass, but it got intercepted by Blackburn. He tried to throw it up to Ronowski, but you know, Ronowski's injured, so he can't really jump up to catch the ball. And they probably shouldn't have played Ronowski. He really was ineffective. He didn't really have a good game. I think he only caught one pass, maybe.
Right. I think another play of the game was when they challenged that play when Belichick was called the clock on that unbelievable catch that forgot which Giant made that catch when he stayed in bounds with like guys guarding him.
You're right. That was another key play. Yeah.
And,
that was another key play.
Belichick wasted a timeout, you know, to challenge the play, and of course he lost, so he lost his timeout.
Well, Giants, in that fourth quarter, Giants wasted two timeouts, so they were very fortunate to get the ball back there, you know, because they wasted two of their timeouts that they could use later on, but they were fortunate enough to get the ball back after the Patriots couldn't do nothing, and scored. You know, of course, you know, Manning made that big 50-yard pass to Manningham, and then later on, you know, what's his name? Jacobs went in for a touchdown, but Jacobs was supposed to stop at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
To eat up more time off the clock.
Yep.
But instead,
like,
you know,
what
should I
do? And then
yeah, exactly. So,
That was weird, man.
Yeah, so, you know, that gave the Patriots plenty of time to possibly come back, but, you know, Giants defense held up, you know. So, you know, Giants win the game in the end. Eli Manning had outplayed Brady again, just like did, you know, do a 30 for 40 for 296 yards, one TD, didn't throw any interceptions, and, yeah, like he's been all season long, he's been great for us.
Oh, yeah, he went 30 for 40 for 296 yards, and, of course, the one touchdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, that led to him winning.
Yeah.
You know, and he backed up what he was saying. He said that he was in the class of Brady, his brother, and you know, of course, Roethlisberger, and he backed it up.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, yeah, I mean, he definitely proved it all season long. All season long, he was the one person that you, on our team that you could rely on always, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you could see Eli, man. He's, you know, this guy, you know, that first run, you know, he was, you know, it was like he had a quiet confidence that first run. You know, but this year, man, he was more vocal. You know, you could see he really took the team on his back.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely matured as a footballer, you know, as a football quarterback.
Yep.
He's definitely more calmer and more patient. And he's clutch. I mean, he's always been clutch. That's, you could always say it about him. He was, you know,
definitely.
He's always been clutch.
Yep.
But, yeah, Giants, you know, they become the first 9-7 team to win a Super Bowl. This is their fourth Super Bowl, you know, fifth team to do that. So, you know, it's a good win. They deserve this one. You know, a lot of people said in 2007 Giants didn't deserve it. We got lucky. You know, maybe we did get lucky in 2007. But this one was no luck involved.
Yep. And like they say, there's an old baseball saying that says sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. Yeah.
Yeah, good enough. No one took the Super Bowl away from them. So
yeah,
they deserved it.
Yeah, this time there was no luck involved. We won fair and square. We deserve this one.
Hey, you guys, like Herman Edwards says, hello, you came to win the game.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what happened. You know, that's what I love about sports. You know. The unpredictability of it, you know, guys, you know, you don't just show up and expect, you know, to win, you know, even though you're the favorite, you got to play the game to prove it.
Yeah, definitely. And I got to tip my cap off to the Pats. You know, they're a great team, but, you know, sometimes great teams lose in, you know, championship games. I mean, I've seen my Yankees losing two World Series before, so, you know, it happens, you know.
Yep. And unfortunately, I know about losing because every time my team goes to a conference final, they lose. I'm synonymous with losing myself, too.
But, yeah, Giants just have Brady and Belichick and Patriots figured out. You know, they have their number.
Yeah, you know, this one really stings them.
Yeah, this one will sting. Because I guess, you know, they probably want to do some redemption from 2007, but.
Yep.
And they were close. They were close in this game to possibly winning it at the end, but, you know, it didn't happen, so. They were Giants.
Oh, yeah.
Ticker tape parade on Tuesday. Or Wednesday, whatever.
The celebration began.
Yep.
Probably already began already. See,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Kissing on the trophy. No,
I'm about naked.
Well, thanks again. Thanks. You know, this is not a TV show and just a radio. We won't have any via satellite here, folks. So. But a huge win.
Yeah.
Words can't describe, you know. Eli, of course, he wins the MVP, his second MVP, and he's in a very short class with Bart Starr, Joe Montana, and maybe a few other quarterback.
Brady. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Of course, Brady.
Yeah.
To win a Super Bowl, to win, you know, at least two Super Bowl MVPs.
Yeah. It was definitely a good game. Good game to watch.
Yep. Game people will talk about for many years to come.
Yeah.
But switching gears quickly, a game that, you know, in recent Knicks history, I mean, yeah, I know we're talking about the Knicks, but yesterday there was, yesterday, yes, it was the Nets, you know, it wasn't the Lakers or, you know, or the new improved Clippers, you know. But Knicks had a big win against the Nets, and the unlikeliest hero, Jeremy Lin, a guy who they signed, I think, after the second game of the season. And this guy, you know, really stepped up. He had a career high 25 points, 7 assists. And
yeah, that guy was playing out of his mind, man.
6 rebounds. Yeah, man, he was unbelievable. Shoot, if it wasn't for the Super Bowl, we probably would have let off with the story.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Super Bowl really, the Super Bowl really drowned the story out.
Yeah. Guy was freaking driving all. You know, he was schooling Darren Williams, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Taking Darren Williams off the dribble, taking him to the hoop.
Yep.
You would have thought Jeremy Lin was the best point guard on the floor.
Oh, yeah, for real. This guy was even on the team to start the season. And,
yeah.
You know, this guy could be the point guard for the short term. But,
yeah.
At least until Baron Davis maybe finally shows up, maybe.
Yeah.
So this guy was driving and... I mean, he played pretty good defense on Darren Williams. I mean, who's arguably one of the best, if not the best, point guard in the game. But yeah, if you look at the stats of Darren Williams, I mean, he pretty much got what he usually get. You know,
yeah,
had like 21 points, 12 assists. But if you really watch the game, man, he really stopped them, and they couldn't really. They didn't have a scouting report on Jeremy Lin because, I mean, who would expect Jeremy Lin to have a career game? You know what I mean? Usually guys have, you know, opposition have career games against the Knicks.
Right.
The last time, probably the last time a Knick had a career game against the team was probably Allen Houston when he scored 50 points against the Lakers.
Right.
I mean, come on. I mean, there's not that many, you know, great games in recent years.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this whole year, I mean, the Knicks, I mean, of course, they're 9-15. And other than the Celtic game, the first game, they didn't really have a signature win. But yeah, yesterday's game, man, that, I mean, it was just the unlikelihood of Jeremy Lin stepping in, you know. And, you know, being the MVP of yesterday's game, that's what was the most amazing part.
Yeah, what was big about it is he saved D'Antoni's job.
Yeah, for at least one day.
And he stopped the Knicks' losing streak.
Oh, yeah. And if you look at the other games, the two previous games before that, Knicks could have won those games, but against Bulls and Celtics, but... Of course, the inexperience and, you know, the other teams, you know, being, you know, obviously better teams, you know, they lost. They could have had had stuff broken right for them. They could have had a 4-game winning streak here.
Yeah, they could have. But,
you know, it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. Can't say what if, you just got to move on.
Yep. And hopefully, you know, Jeremy Lin starts tomorrow against the Jazz and, you know, hopefully get at least a 2-game winning streak going here.
I hope so.
Yeah, because they really need it. And Baron Davis, where are you? That should be like a where in the world is Baron Davis show or something.
Man, I just see him sitting on the bench with a suit on.
Maybe he should be the next Knicks head coach. That kind of reminds me, remember back in the days, like the early 2000s, like when Camby always got hurt all the time?
Yeah.
And he used to wear those Bill Cosby sweaters.
Yeah. I'm.
Well, hopefully D'Antoni will get fired and he'll wear a Bill Cosby sweater thing at. Enough with that. Enough with the Knicks. Hopefully, that was a great win by Lin. And hopefully he keeps it up.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Now that I remember something before I move on. Jared Jeffries, he really stepped up his game too. You know, he had 9 points and 10 rebounds, so he played a solid defense too. So that's also worth noting. But switching to back to the NFL quickly, they announced the NFL Hall of Fame, and one of the inductees was the former Patriot, and of course. Former Jet running back Curtis Martin,
yep.
he gets into the Hall along with Jackie Butler and some other notable players. But one big omission was the tuna, Bill Parcells, of course, the former Jet head coach and, of course, the former Great Giant head coach when they won during the LT era in the 86, early 90 era.
Yeah.
And he didn't get the Hall, which was weird, but I guess he has to wait next year.
Yeah, he may have to wait a few years. There's a lot of stuff surrounding why he's not getting in. I guess because, you know, he's jumped from team to team. He's been indecisive. He's negotiated with teams while still coaching. He's negotiated with other teams while still on the contract with one team. So I guess people, you know, are, you know,
give him a punishment or something.
Yeah, are punishing him because, you know, of his antics with the media. I mean, he really didn't also that have a good relationship with the media also, so.
Yeah, I guess that led to it, but I mean, once you get in, I mean, it's good to get in on the first try, you know, for being a first ballot Hall of Famer. But once you get in, I mean, you don't really look back and go, hey, wait a minute, this guy's great. But, oh, wait a minute, he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Oh, well.
Still going.
As long as you're a Hall of Famer, it doesn't matter whether you get in the first ballot or second ballot or whenever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no one's going to put an asterisk.
Yeah.
You know, next to it. So hopefully he'll get in next year. Congratulations to Curtis Martin and the rest of the Hall.
Yeah, well deserved.
Absolutely. And let's see. Guess we'll switch gears lastly to the Raw. Of course, Triple H returned.
Mm-hmm.
To try to fire John Laurinaitis, but there was a bigger return. And, of course, for the 1 millionth time, the dead man, the phenom.
The Undertaker.
The undefeated wrestler in WrestleMania, the Undertaker, he returns.
He made his 100th comeback.
Yep. And, do you remember the last time he has wrestled?
Wow, I think it was last WrestleMania.
That is correct. Literally the last WrestleMania.
Man.
That was the last time he's wrestled.
Wow.
And he's going to fight Triple H for the record-setting third time. And I don't know about you. I mean, Undertaker and Triple H, they've had some great matches. Especially at WrestleMania. We're not even talking about the other matches they've had in the past, but WrestleMania 17, that was, man, an awesome match.
Yeah.
Last year's one was great. I'd say it was close to the WrestleMania 17 match. But I don't know. And, you know, there's rumors that Shawn Michaels might get involved, you know, maybe as a special guest referee or something like that. I don't know. I just feel like they should use it on somebody who never fought him before.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. The only person who I would think deserved to fight him three times Well, I mean, obviously Shawn Michaels is retired. But the one person who would really deserve, but he's a little up there himself,
who?
Would be Kane, because think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Kane is his brother. So WrestleMania 20 wasn't, you know, that great of a match, because they made Kane too shocked that he came back, and Kane hardly fought him, really had an offense. It was like he was rattled.
Right,
the match,
right.
He never really had an offense against him.
Let me ask you something now.
If
this Triple H Undertaker match does happen, do you think the Triple H will win this time?
And end
his streak?
I hope not, because I was afraid of him ending the streak last year.
I think the streak might come to an end, finally.
It might come to an end. I don't know. It might. I mean, it'd be stupid for them to end the streak with Triple H. I mean, Triple H has done it all. I mean,
yeah.
Especially after Rock and Stone Cold, retired. His two biggest competition, you know, retired, and he just started winning and compiling a bunch of championships, you know.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't think Triple H deserves it. I mean, Triple H is a 13-time champion. I mean, it should go to a guy if you know, Undertaker's going to lose it. Because, I don't know, is there anybody really, really deserve to end the streak, really? I don't really think so. I mean, it would be
nice. If not Triple H, maybe they would make John Cena next year.
Yeah, I could see John Cena winning it. Yeah, I mean, but I don't know if they want to put John Cena to fight him.
That would be a big draw, though.
It would be. But I don't know if they'd do it.
Because
WWE, man, you know, it's like they like to screw with their fans. You know, You know, they've been teasing this Cena heel change for like the past, 6 years or so.
Yeah.
So, and now John Cena has this theme song, that's supposedly coming out at WrestleMania, which is supposed to symbolize him being an underdog. So, I guess that's kind of a spoiler alert that he's most likely not going to turn heel.
I want to hear that.
And he's going to, of course, Cena's going to fight against Kane at Elimination Chamber. So he could, and that'll be the final test to see if he'll finally embrace the hate.
And you'll never see that happen. Ever.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. They tried to tease us, but nah, I don't think it's gonna happen.
Embrace the hate. Exactly. That.
When they're showing a promo of him, you know, pretty much saying, you know, he's never gonna do it. I mean, that kind of spoils the whole storyline. You know, he's always about the fans and all this stuff like that. I mean, that kind of spoils.
Maybe after WrestleMania, maybe I could see it happening. Maybe, but
nah, he has to turn. He has to turn just before WrestleMania, man, because or at WrestleMania, like Stone Cold did at WrestleMania 17. That's not gonna work.
We'll see. You know, maybe he turns on. Maybe after, if he wins at WrestleMania, he turns on Rock, and then becomes villain. You never know. Or if Rock beats him, he turns into villain.
Hey, I would love. Shoot, I hope Rock whips his behind, you know, at WrestleMania. I'd take that, but I don't know, man. I just have a strong feeling they're gonna make Cena beat Rock.
We'll see, but I don't know about him never turning evil, man.
Yeah, I'll believe when I see that as well.
Yeah.
And Sting also had another interview admitting that the one guy he hasn't fought that he would like to fight is, of course, Kane, and not Kane, I mean, rather Undertaker.
Oh.
That he was really close up to him at WrestleMania, but he, of course, this was like the third or fourth time he turned them down.
Oh.
I guess he's
too bad.
I think he really dropped the ball here. That year would have been the perfect time. I don't know, I just don't see him coming. WWE when he should have last year.
I don't think you'll ever see him in WWE.
Yeah. I don't know if you've been watching SmackDown lately, but the homegirl Natalya, they've been giving her a farting gimmick.
Yeah, I have no respect.
It's weird.
Having a farting gimmick. I mean, that'd be
weird.
It's
strange.
It just explained itself. Weird.
Yeah, that's WWE.
Well, we'll talk about what happened. Oh, yeah, by the way, Johnny, Father Jericho, he hit the code breaker on CM Punk, so he officially turned. He's going to face CM Punk at the Elimination later this month, but. Thank you guys for listening to the show. Thank you, McCauley, for coming on the show. Superboy Giants, congratulations. See you guys next week.